From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Bypassing the Democrats who left their state and didn't come back, Wisconsin Senate Republicans tonight voted to pass a bill eliminating collective bargaining rights for most public employees. As NPR's David Shaper reports, the move has infuriated Democrats.
Republicans took all of the budgetary provisions out of Governor Scott Walker's so-called budget repair bill, so the legislation no longer needed a special majority, and thus Democrats, to be brought up for a vote. Then in just minutes, with no debate and the 14 Democratic senators still in Illinois, the Senate Republicans approved the bill with only one of their 19 members voting against it. The bill still must be approved by the legislature's lower chamber, the state assembly, where Republicans have an even greater majority. A vote there is expected Thursday. Governor Walker applauds the move to limit the bill to only his provisions to curb collective bargaining, but Democrats are outraged and are asking Wisconsin's attorney general to investigate whether the maneuver was legal. David Shaper, NPR News.
NATO defense ministers meet Thursday in Brussels to consider what the alliance's options would be if asked to get involved in Libya. As Terry Schultz reports, military planners have been assessing what resources could be provided by NATO members already stretched thin by their presence in Afghanistan.
NATO continues to say it can't and won't act in Libya without a sound legal basis, preferably a resolution from the UN Security Council. That's not likely to exist by the time defense ministers wrap up their summit on Friday. In the meantime, strategists will outline for them what resources would be necessary and available for NATO's entire range of possibilities, from supporting humanitarian missions to enacting a no-fly zone over Libya. U.S. Ambassador Ivo Dalder emphasizes the alliance won't rush into anything.
This is planning, not a decision to act, but to provide preparations necessary so that if we decide to act, we can do so forthwith.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates warns implementing a no-fly zone would be very complicated. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Mexican police have announced the arrest of a senior member of a cartel involved in the murder of a U.S. special agent and the wounding of another. James Blears reports the latest development will significantly affect the illicit financial operations of organized crime in northern Mexico.
Mexican officials say federal police have arrested Mario Jimenez Perez. He's alleged to be the head of finance and paymaster for the Zetas drug cartel in the northern state of San Luis Potosi. This was where U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Special Agent Jaime Zapata and another agent were ambushed nearly a month ago. Zapata was shot dead and his colleague was wounded. Mexican authorities have already arrested the alleged assassin and several other suspected cartel members. For NPR News, I'm James Blears in Mexico City.
Stocks inched lower as oil prices hovered around $104 a barrel. The Dow Industrials dropped a point to end at 12,213. The Nasdaq lost 14 points to 2752. This is NPR. The Dalai Lama is giving up his position as political leader of the Tibetan government in exile. The Dalai Lama confirmed on his website that he is stepping down. In a prepared speech, he says he has continually stressed that Tibetans need a leader elected freely by the Tibetan people, to whom he can devolve power. Now, he says, we have reached the time to put this into effect. Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist David Broder has died at the age of 81 of complications from diabetes. As NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, he's long been considered the dean of the Washington Press Corps.
Broder was so relentlessly even-handed, media watchdogs couldn't peg him as left or right. Former Washington Post colleague Thomas Edsel says he was also famed for his comprehensive list of contacts.
The degree to which he was on top of everything that went on was just extraordinary. Working with him was intimidating, in a sense, in that he knew often more about what I or other reporters were reporting on.
Edsel says Broder doggedly traveled to key political districts to discover what voters thought. He says Broder lamented the rise of political consultancies and the disappearance of moderates. David Broder is survived by a wife and four sons. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
The voters of Bell, California, made their voices heard today. They converged on polling places around the tiny working-class Los Angeles suburb to throw out the council members who gave themselves six-figure salaries. They met about once a month. More than 30% of Bell's registered voters went to the polls. 95% cast ballots to get rid of the four council members who paid themselves $100,000 a year. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News, in Washington.
Support.